Do you ever feel like there's just something, or you don't even know what it is? You're just like, there's just something there and I can't reach it. When I look at a photo I make, I think to myself, this is the thing that I can't touch inside of me. This is the thing I can't name. And here it is. It's right here. And it's over here. And I've made it thousands of times. I've seen it. I can touch it outside of me. This thing that I can't get at, I get at it in a million different ways. This. Just as mysterious, even though I'm looking at it, whether it's my personal work or my client work, with my quote-unquote real camera, with my cell phone, I've touched the thing that this whole episode is about, my whole life is about, a million different times in taking of a photo and making of a photo. I've encountered it regularly, I'd say. And yet, unrest. What is that?
Help Me See is a podcast dedicated to the art of seeing. It's a space for the restless visionary with an insatiable desire to create the life and work you're meant for. My name is Bianca Leah Mora, and I'm a photographic artist, a mother, and a coach who's transformed my fear of loss into power, art, and philosophy. One of the scariest quotes I never want to say is, "I wish I knew at the time." But I truly believe that we have the innate ability to bring our wise 2020 hindsight to our now. You can deeply experience your nostalgia now, while it's actually happening, with no regrets. All you have to do is see. In this show, we laugh, we cry, we get inspired, we overshare. We have life-changing conversations around making meaning, self-discovery, and shedding all of the BS layers in order to reconnect to our own sacred vision. Seeing yourself is an essential key to living powerfully. You are the vessel, the lens that filters absolutely everything in your life. What are you filtering for? Whether it be conversations with fellow artists and visionaries or my solo audio journal-style introspective ramblings, each episode is meant to feel like an exhale, an unraveling of truth, a moment for you to be able to put your finger on something that you haven't been able to for far too long. Come exactly as you are. It's perfect. Honor your instincts. Let's uncover some of the most important things in our lives, which all too often can slip out from our view. Let's commit to seeing and consciously creating what only you can in your one and only life. Let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Help Me See. I am damn near whispering right now because it is 5 in the fucking morning. I just got back last night around 5 from my trip. I went to San Francisco. I went to Nashville for a conference, and then we did a road trip back to Ohio. And I woke up at 3 a.m. with my eyes just bing, and I just laid there for an hour and a half. And I was like, okay, this isn't happening. And it really annoyed me that I couldn't fall back asleep because I just felt so much gratitude because I was laying there sandwiched between my 95-pound dog and my 3-year-old, like both of them right up against me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is just the sweetest. Just one of those moments where you feel so grateful. And I once again, it's like, okay, Bianca, just relax. There's nothing to do, nowhere to be. Just sink into this and go back to sleep. Well, You see how that went, because I'm here talking to you right now at 5:16 in the morning. And then it reminded me on the plane, I was reading and taking notes, most times when I take notes furiously, like, I can't for the fucking life of me read my own handwriting. And I went and got my notebook, and I turned to this page that I, like, faintly remembered where it was, because I also don't write in order in my notebook. Listen, sometimes you start a thought, and you're like, I'm not done with this, but I need to take a break from that. So I want to leave a few pages so that I have space to go back to that and have that writing there. And then there's the whole thing. I once explained this to Ben, and he was like, there's something probably wrong. I'm like, whatever, you don't understand. Anyway, I wrote, with a little star by it, do you ever feel like there's something inside of you that no matter what you do, you just cannot touch? Do you ever feel like there's just something and you don't know what it is and you just cannot touch it? Like, you just cannot get to it. You don't even know what you're looking for. You don't even know what it is. You're just like, there's just something there and I can't reach it. I don't know. This is making me laugh because this past weekend when I went to this conference, there was something that I said, and I was like, does anyone feel like, and they said it, literally nothing, crickets. I mean, it was fine. Everyone was so sweet. And it was just absolute crickets. So as I'm saying this right now, you very well may be on the other side of this thinking, or just being like, it's just you, babe. But I don't know. I kind of don't believe that either. I just... Sometimes I think that there are these feelings that are unsayable that we have and we can't explain it, and it's just a feeling. So, and we don't name it, but sometimes we need other people's, like, really weird attempts to name it in order to identify it in ourselves. And I think that's a really, really, really big reason why I fling myself out into the abyss so often, because I know that I need that so much. Whenever I encounter an artist, a writer, anyone, any person that says something, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, that was it. Oh my gosh. That, yes. Yes. I never isolated it in that way. I never was able to touch it like that before, but thank you. So in this case, I'm not actually identifying anything other than the fact that I can't identify whatever this itch is that I can't scratch. Let me see what else did I write. Yeah. So after I wrote that, I'm like sitting there unsatisfied. Like, I don't want to just be like, yep, there's that thing. I was like, okay, but what is it? Let me try here. And then I wrote, it's like when something really hits me, I almost can't even bear it. It's almost as if it has to be 1/125th of a second of exposure, like on a camera, because if it were any longer, I'd be afraid of what would become of me. I was thinking about how, it makes so much sense that there are so many times where I'd rather just be with the pictures than in my life. That there's like this stillness that's there. There's a control that's there. There's like there's spaciousness that's there when I have my photographs on my computer in front of me and I'm like touching them, you know, and editing and looking and, you know, doing whatever I'm doing. And in real life, like, I guess if we want to, like, write a couple hours ago and I'm laying in bed and I'm so grateful. It's like, why did I leave bed to come and talk about it? I mean, I didn't specifically think, let me go record a podcast episode. I mean, that's what I'm doing right now. But I did think, I just can't rest my brain. I'm so awake and I keep tossing and turning and they're literally both up against me. So I was like, I'm going to wake them up with my restlessness. And that restlessness, it's like such a part of me. I feel like my restlessness is like a main component of me. And I don't know how to feel about that. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's good and sometimes I think it's bad. It's probably neither. It just is. You think that's definitely a huge part of this thing I'm speaking to. It's like, I find that, and I wonder as well, like, you know, with makers, with creators, with people that are trying to, or not trying to, the people that are visually creating things that are commentary, reflections, representations of some of the most meaningful things in their lives. I can't help but be more fascinated by everything that comes before it than the actual object. And that is such a parallel to my life experience, right? I think about how my most cherished things in life that I love so much, I find myself not being able to get close enough, like physically and in mentally and with my camera. Like, I love close up, like closer, closer, closer. And simultaneously, it's like I feel this inability to be with it. I feel this arm's length thing that happens. It's like I can't get close enough. And also I'm holding my arm out. Wait, 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 wait. And it's the same with pictures. And then the inevitable question that comes from that is like, but what would happen? Like, what would it look like to try something different in that situation? I don't even know what that means. Like, what, like, refuse to take a picture, refuse to let myself leave a situation that I'm like so antsy and restless in. I don't know. Because I find that even if you're physically making yourself do something, the mental component is so much stronger. The monkey mind of like running in circles could still be happening even if you're like, no, I will sit my ass on this couch and watch them play and be in my life. So going back to what I was saying before, I'm so much more fascinated with everything around the thing. Like if it's the picture or the piece of art, like, how can I love something so much as like a single piece of art. It could like bring me to tears. That's like what I feel is like the most profound thing you can make in honor and acknowledgement and recognition of something you witnessed and experienced and are processing and are thinking and are feeling. And yet, I think the thing itself is so, it could be so reductive. Like, it's not anything compared to everything that went into its creation and everything that its creation causes afterwards. It's like I constantly come back to the nothingness that I've feared for so long in my life, ever since I was able to conceptually or cognitively, I mean, like, process or understand. I don't even think I don't understand, but like when my brain bit onto that, like a dog with a bone, oh my gosh, one day nothing will exist. One day death. One day just nothing, nothing, nothing matters. And furiously wanting to combat that. And then, you know, making it my life to contend with the nothingness and finding everything in the nothingness in every way possible. And yet, I am still so fucked up. Oh my gosh, I'm still like so fucking perplexed. It's like, haven't I had the same conversation with myself in 4 quadrillion different ways? If you've listened to all these episodes, you might be like, yeah, specifically, I've heard about 100 of them. 100 episodes. What is this, 101, 102? This makes me think about something. So my absolute favorite photographer that, I mean, I don't even, it's, it feels like saying my favorite photographer cheapens it. I have goosebumps just thinking about how, what I feel and think about this person. And I've never met him. He's passed a bit ago. Larry Sultan. I find that so many people that I've talked about, that I mentioned him to, don't know him. I don't know why. But he has this way of being in his life and being in the world that resulted in such beautiful pictures. He did a project on his parents. I mean, he always documented his parents. Pictures from Home is his, my favorite body of his work, but he also did amazing like work collaborations with found photographs with people like Mike Mendel and I can't talk about him at 5:30 in the morning. I'm too exhausted by it. But he made it a point in his book to include such powerful text that included words and perspectives from his parents. And he didn't adhere to a type of process, a type of photography. Obviously using found photographs, using film, using his words, using pictures of objects to communicate and comment on whatever he was looking at. But bringing his parents into the conversation and also being open to staging photographs, because finding the moment in a documentary sense wasn't enough for some things. There were portraits that he had in his brain that he wanted to make. There were symbols, representations that he was playing with, and he wasn't going to be confined by, you know, documentary photojournalism versus, like, there's a very specific picture I want to make, and yeah, I'm staging it. What does that mean? What does that have to mean? There's this blurb about, there's this paragraph about how there was this one night or afternoon or something like that, that he went in his parents' room and his mom was taking a nap and her foot was like sticking out from the blanket, and it was like the underside of her foot or something to that effect. And he's like, I never saw the underside of her foot before in that way, or I never looked at it, or I never, you know, it just shook him. And, you know, he had this thought around, just never want my parents to go. I want them to live forever. And it's like these trigger points that happen that you, when you allow yourself to linger with them, they give you so much more. They give you so much grounding. They give you so much, so many like internal messages about how you want to be living your life and what is important to you, and yada, yada, yada. I can't even, sorry, let me drink my coffee. Getting tired again. This will be great. It's 5:38 and I'm ready to go to bed and my kids are going to be up any second. Anyway, with him, I have traveled for his, like, gotten on planes to go to his shows and, you know, the LACMA. And I remember he was the first big purchase, quote unquote big, I had ever made when I was younger. Like, I remember I spent like $500 on a book that was signed by him on eBay, and it was for Bill Love Larry or something. I'm like, Bill, what the fuck? How can you sell this? And I remember the perfect like shrink wrapped version of that book was available for much less. And I was like, I have to have the thing that he touched. And I don't get like that. Like, I'm not. And there's so few things that I care about in that way. Like, in a, I don't know, how would you say it? Like, a celebrity way, or in a like glorified way. But I just feel so connected to him. And maybe that sounds creepy. Anyway. But it's like, with him, I'm so devastated that there's no more work to be made from him, like, live. And I ache for that. And I also avoid pursuing learning more about him. I have this book about him, like, literally about his life. I think it's just called Larry Sultan. It's a biography or whatever it is. I haven't read it. Do you know how many books I've read? This is my favorite. It's like, oh, I feel like I can't bear it. I don't. What? It's insane. I've never, from cover to cover, read that book of his in one go. I just can't. It's like I always have to close it or go to a random spot in the book. spend some time and then put it away. I just cannot take it in one sitting. I don't even want to. I feel like, I don't know. It feels like the same common thread with everything else I'm talking about. It's like maybe that, like, once I do, it's done. Like, I can't have that experience again because there's no more stuff to be made, or like, I don't know. I've just always found that the things that I love the most, like, really hurt me. And I don't mean like in a, you know, scorn me, or, you know, I mean, it just feels unbearable. And that's why I make pictures. And also the pictures don't satisfy me. It's insatiable. The practice itself is the point. So whenever I have the picture, I love it so deeply, and I'm also like, and that's not the point. And then I think that what drives me wild is that if I know that's not the point, and I feel that's not the point, and I know that everything before and the process and the experience and the witnessing and all of that is the point, then why do I keep taking myself out of that to make the pictures? And to be with the pictures. Do you know? Do you have an answer? Have you mulled over this? Do you relate to this? I don't know. My relationship with picture making and creating and processing feels like home to me, and it is my way of digesting, consuming my life, eating my life, and the ferociousness, the restlessness, it just makes me question, like, what is going on here? When I look at a photo I make, I think to myself, this. Like, this is the thing that I can't touch inside of me. This is the thing I can't name. And here it is. It's right here. And it's over here. And I've made it thousands of times. I've seen it. I can touch it outside of me. This thing that I can't get at, I get at it in a million different ways, in a million different times. I've taken a picture and then I look at it and I'm like, this. But there's no finality in it, and there's no, I don't know, it just seems to be just as mysterious to me. Just as mysterious, even though I'm looking at it in a million different ways, through a million different people, through a million different scenarios, whether it's my personal work or my client work or whatever it is, with my real, quote unquote, real camera, with my cell phone, I've touched the thing that this whole episode is about, my whole life is about, a million different times in taking of a photo and making of a photo. And in the combination that of some words with a photo, like, I've encountered it so much. Regularly, I'd say. And yet, unrest. What is that? I think the greatest piece that I find in this kerfuffle, what a strange word to call it, is the greatest piece I find from this is that I know that I am locked in with what I know to be the most important dance I could be dancing for myself, right? Dancing with a question and having questions is so much more important than having an answer, but we're human and that doesn't stop me from wanting an answer or something that quells me, you know, that gives me peace and stillness. But the practice itself is the point. Well, I got the point down pat, let me tell you, so I'm in this practice. But I still feel like maybe one day, maybe one picture will tell me the thing. I don't know what the thing is, but it'll tell me maybe. Oh boy. It's kind of like, I remember when, well, I mean, commercials are still a thing if you don't pay to remove your ads. Growing up, anytime there's a commercial, I'd like go out to the fridge and see, I mean, if there's nothing in here I want, go back inside to your bedroom. And the next commercial, go back and check, see if anything new has appeared within the last 12 minutes. Maybe I missed something. Maybe something new will pop up to me. Maybe I'll realize that I actually do want this or blah, blah, blah. Okay. I hope that you have a beautiful day. Keep me in your thoughts as I wrap this recording at 5:52 a.m. and anticipate hearing little footsteps at any moment. I've been up since 3 already. Yeah. I just hope that you know whatever your version of this is, whatever lifelong question, whatever this is for you, the purity of intent that lives inside of you through your making, through your creating, in whatever version that is, through your photography, your painting, your writing, your conscious parenting, your homemaking, your whatever it is, your singing, whatever it is, that is it. Anything else is just bonus. And any fucked up part is, I feel like any quote unquote answer we can feel like we find is probably transient anyway, depending on what version of self has discovered it. So basically, the last however many minutes of your life is moot point because because even if you find an answer that feels satisfactory to you, that feels like an itch has been scratched, a new itch will come. A new itch will come. Okay. I'm going to finish my lukewarm coffee, maybe fill her up, warm it up, and I will see you next week. Have a beautiful week. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening.
This has been an Awkward Sage production.